episode 2. Welcome to the 99 Podcast, a show dedicated to the LA 99 scene theater community. I'm Benjamin Schwartz.
And I am Matt Ritchie. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about, we're going to be reviewing The Johnny Cycle, which is an immersive theater piece by the Speakeasy Society.
First off, the location was rather unique. This took place at the Mausoleum in Altadena.
Yeah, exactly. The Johnny Cycle, it's based off of Johnny Got His Gun, which is a book by Dalton Trumbo.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Dalton Trumbo, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's the famous screenwriter who was blacklisted during the McCarthy era, wrote a number of famous screenplays, and this one book was kind of his way of being very anti-war. They decided to do a immersive piece not only about the book, but about Dalton Trumbo himself. And I think in terms of the way they get you into it, I mean, the very first thing that we did was they sent you an email and that said, listen to this on the way
over
there.
So yeah, and it took about 30 minutes to listen to the full audio recording, which is this narrator, authoritative figure almost, speaking to you and giving you information about your character, and you find out that you are Johnny, who has no arms, no legs, has no voice, basically no face. You are this blank everyman character that whoever they just by the bucket load send into war.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And they talk about Johnny speaking for the dead. You know, you are alive and yet not alive.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you are about to experience is because the soldier Johnny has no way of seeing or feeling or anything like that. What you're experiencing is a mixture of memory and imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you're about to see is a mixture of something that might have actually happened to you or might not have, and maybe you're mixing memories together. They talk about, there's this really great section that they talk about where you're confusing how to make pie with how to train to kill someone on the battlefield. And it gets confused in the conversation that they're having on the way to the mausoleum itself, which, as you were saying, the entire show is at the mausoleum up in Altadena.
Yeah, which provides an incredible landscape, a playing ground for so many different directing opportunities, composition, and lighting, and just the spookiness that surrounds the entire event. I would mention, too, that the whole audio recording is all set to very ambient sounds and soundscapes, which are really successful in setting the mood.
Well, and they do some really interesting stuff. They do a lot of what, you know, a lot of immersive will do, which is they're going to bring you onto different tracks. Some of the things that I found really impressive, just from a general point of view, is how each one of the tracks really must have been incredibly well timed, because it felt like all of the groups came back at the same time.
Oh, that is a good point.
You know, so the scripts themselves or the experiences, even though there are three happening, really must all have gotten the chance to. They must have timed that really, 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 really well, because we all come back at the end after, I don't know, I would say maybe 20 minutes or so,
mm-hmm.
And they give you a final experience together. Now, the Johnny Cycle, as with a number of things that Speakeasy Society has done, it comes in different parts. So there was the Johnny Cycle Part 1, which was called The Quick and the Dead, Part 2, which was called The Shell, meaning the bomb shell that took away the site.
Part 3, which is called The Living.
This time around, however, the Johnny Cycle, which is still back at the mausoleum, is all three. So it is a much longer experience because everyone does all three sections, even though each of those sections has, I guess, three or four tracks to it. So it's not like you can experience the entire thing. You'd still have to go like three or four times in order to be able to experience
it. I think each track should probably take around 40 minutes or so, 35, 40 minutes. In total, the whole event lasted around 2 hours.
Yeah.
From the time that you got there to the time you left, not including the car ride over and everything. The logistics were impressive.
The logistics were incredibly impressive. The attention to detail, you know, the costuming and the characters that they created.
Really grounded in their world.
Yeah.
And even the kind of ho-dunk guy that I was talking to for a while with dirty overalls, he seemed... You know, I could have asked him what he had for breakfast this morning, and I felt like he would have just spewed it right off to me.
Know.
Yeah. And I just felt like everyone was really connected in that sense, which in an immersive theater production, you have to have all of your world building, all of your, you know, character building so incredibly tight. Hmm. So in the event that there is a slip up ever, those actors know exactly where to go fall back on.
They did a great job of asking ahead of time who wants to be more mobile and more active and who would like to be more passive, so that they had opportunities for you to really, really be involved. Or if you wanted to kind of just sit back and kind of do a more experiential thing, that was an option too for the first section. And they rounded the whole thing out. Not only were you, even though you are playing the character of Johnny, the, you know, faceless you are not only living through your memories of war and your memories of your father and your parents and all of these things, but you are also outside of yourself in the sense that Dalton Trumbo is a character. And there is an entire section on Dalton Trumbo being brought up in front of the ethics committee and asked if he is a communist. And you as Johnny are still involved with that.
Yeah, it almost felt like a weird fever dream kind of being sucked in and out of the author's world. There was one moment where the mother, she pulled me in, and within seconds, she sort of had this bipolar kind of thing going on where she would just go between talking to me as if I was the character and then talking to me like I was part of the, like a fictionalized, like written piece of material. So, and why am I summoning these dreams, and why am I like putting her through this rather than what she was making me go through? Some really interesting techniques and conventions being used. Some that we've seen in other productions, like heavy use of breathing, group breathing, and obviously the different tracks to pull people on.
And different lighting choices as well. I really love when you can use unique outside lighting sources. And when I say unique, it's actually, they're actually not that unique. The use of flashlights, the use of lanterns, the use of candle, the use of what have, it's very basic, but it's actually not used very much in theater because we're so used to, okay, we're in a room and we're going to have a specific kind of light and it's got to be kind of a theatrical lighting. But the use of other kinds of light really adds to the feeling. And it felt to me that the point of the whole show, or the theme of the whole show, was how important the connection between creator and creation, and how it's so important to keep your creation alive. And Trumbo wanted to keep Johnny alive, because of his importance and what he was saying and what he was doing. At the same time, the character of Johnny not liking his creator because he created this horrifying monster in a way. This, like, I can't see, I can't do this. I can't. And that fight between creator and creation and what there's a Frankenstein-esque aspect to that, I think. The creator creation that I thought was very strong in one or two sections. Again, there were three parts to the show, and all three of them are tied together in this mounting of this production. And so therefore the show ends kind of three times, right? Each section ends and then you move on to another one. And I felt very much that the first section had an incredibly strong ending. It really spoke to me, and it took everything that I had previously been through and really wrapped it up nicely. And I had a really great experience.
Yeah, it made me anticipate the other two sections that were about to come.
Yeah.
And see how they were going to tie it back in.
Yeah.
And every, you know, just the rest of the journey, which, again, that first part concluded around the 40-minute mark.
Yeah.
So we had another hour and 20 minutes of walking around to go at that point.
What was your thought about the three sections and how they tied together and seeing them as a whole, you know, never having seen them bit by bit, how they differed or how you reacted to them?
You could feel the act breaks. That was certain. And each had its own concentrated theme that you could definitely know that you were in while you went to the next section. As far as them actually being tied together, it was more, I guess the choice that they made was for the actors to sort of go, you come with me now, walk. And I didn't really know why I was being chosen to go with these certain characters or where we were going to. In fact, some of the places that we ended up, the location was very unclear. But I think that definitely plays into the whole fever dream aspect of, do you know the location that you're actually in, if it's fictional or not? And, you know, I could see how they could get around that. And with, you know, if their teacher had say, hey, place an intent on this, they could dodge a bullet, and I feel like talk their way out of it almost. But not in a bad way. Just I think that they chose a really good location that has a lot of inspiration and. You know, while you develop something like this, everyone keeps on pulling new themes and ideas that they didn't see that were there before. And those fabrications become reality of the story. The story itself reveals itself more. Mm-hmm. So, but for you, how did you feel going into the next section?
The first time it happened, it felt fine. It made sense that we had there was a definitive act break. The first part felt the strongest to me. The first section, again, keeping in mind that, you know, there are going to be three tracks and I only experienced one, you know, for each time. So it could just be the tracks that I happened to be on. But I felt like the first track was definitely the strongest. And I felt more involved, not only on a physical level, but more emotionally invested in what was going on.
Even though we know the fate of Dalton Trumbo?
Yeah, even knowing that, yeah.
Yeah, it still felt like you empathized with him, you cared for him, you felt like he was being screwed over because of the circumstances. And it kind of felt like that bad dream where you as the character know everything that should go right, but just everything is happening wrong around you.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think the reason that this worked for me is there was real drama in that final moment of the first part. And I didn't get that from anything else moving forward. I've got there was story and I got character. And there were
definitely gorgeous imagery
experiences and gorgeous imagery. Absolutely. And all of that. And I understood the purpose for what they were doing, but I never got the same sense of drama that I got from the first section. The first section felt very much of a piece, and everything felt to kind of taper out from that point as almost like appendices, you know, of adding some kind of extra character stuff to people.
It's sort of like a curriculum book that has the first chapter, and because it's just teaching you information, it doesn't actually need to go back to that first chapter because it already understands that you know those concepts and those rules.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really tie back in.
Right.
And because of the fact that they are presenting three different cycles all in one,
right,
I would have liked to see them try to create a bit more of a thread that you followed through from the very beginning to the end. Because, again, the way that everything ended for me was a bit ethereal and inconsequential.
Yeah.
Yet it still was, like you were saying earlier, an experience.
Yeah.
These kind of moments and images that you can't get out of your head, but yet don't really do anything for the story, yet stick with you in this really great way.
So it's
a hard balance between, you know, trying to, you're as an audience member, you're really trying to like pull out, what am I trying to get out of this? And in the end, you kind of have to say nothing. Like, I'm not supposed to get anything extra for them. That's where, for me, it gets a little frustrating. And this happens with a lot of immersive theater.
Yeah. It got cerebral, thematically cerebral and character-based in the second sections. And really, I feel like that's just going to boil down to personal taste, because I can completely see how that could be some people's favorite part, where you're just experiencing, you know, you're there for people's reactions to one another and relationships, or the grander idea of war, and let's take a look at what war means and why is it important and how is it important.
And meanwhile, as they're talking about all of these fallen bodies, you are surrounded by all of these dead people around you too, in the walls and the ground above you, below you, on the sides, everywhere surrounding you. There,
since it's the mausoleum, yeah.
Yeah. And even though it's not the fallen soldiers, you still feel that haunting presence throughout it. So the whole thing overall for me is a crazy mixed bag.
Yeah.
And it's a great experience. And this company is really talented.
Yeah. Oh, I would totally agree. For whatever little issues that I may have in terms of taste and how I think the story itself might have moved forward, as an experience and as a show, it's unbelievably talented artists on every level. From performance to concept to writing to staging to directing. I thought it was
stage
all
management.
Stage management. Holy cow. Yeah. I don't know how they do that, but like, it's amazing.
It seems like there are, if this is run by three people backstage, I'd be super surprised.
Yeah.
It feels like this would take a team of 10 plus people, really honestly, to get it all going behind the scenes. That's the thing, is that they covered up all of their seams rather well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say overall, it's a fantastic experience. I mean, I would definitely recommend going to see this show, no question, because it's as immersive theater groups go, this is, if not the best, one of the best in LA that I've seen.
This as a whole, I don't think I could forget.
Yeah.
But I still, want to see a stronger story come out, something that feels linear and logical, and this is too much of pulling me back out of kind of guessing where I'm at and what I'm doing and what the point of it all is, as opposed to everything feeling like it's totally necessary.
Hmm. I understand what you're saying, and I actually don't disagree with you, but I think the parts that are strong are so strong that you can get quite a bit out of it. There are moments that I know are definitely going to be sticking with me. And for any theater to have moments that you know that are going to stick with you for a long time, I think is very impressive.
You do need to see kind of who you're recommending it to.
Yes.
Because someone has to be okay with going to walk around a lot and having people touch them.
Absolutely.
And be up in their face. And somebody else, I know a couple other people that only want to go into the middle of an audience, mm-hmm. and or the back of the audience and be seen by no one.
Yes.
And sit in their chair and make sure they have an aisle seat because they need to have that leg room.
Right.
So it's a totally different experience coming into this. You have to sort of know what the person that you're recommending it to would get themselves into. But for people who are immersive theater junkies, you have to go see this.
Yeah.
It's totally different. This has been a review of The Johnny Cycle from the Speakeasy Society. Please join us next episode.
We're going to be interviewing Matthew Bamberg Johnson and Julianne Just, co-artistic directors of the Speakeasy Society. And we'll see you next time on the 99 Podcast.